talking tonight about living with joy. I was telling Nicole earlier how I was amazed again how God orchestrates stuff. I said, I wasn't planning these two things together, but last Wednesday we talked about peace, and then we talked about peace on Sunday. Tonight we're going to talk more about joy, and we're going to talk about joy on Sunday. So Lord knows what he's doing, but if you would join with me in opening your copy of God's Word to the back of the New Testament, to the book of Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 4, and we'll be beginning in a moment in verse 10. And remember that Paul was writing from a prison cell. He was writing about unity within the church. Evidently, there had been something going on at the church of Philippi, but he said it's all about advancing God's gospel. It's all about sharing God's gospel, and we see the idea through Philippians about unity, but we see the overarching theme of joy, and that joy is real. Joy is not based on circumstances. Happiness is based on circumstances, but joy is an inner peace that comes within, and it comes only from Christ. And he's going to talk more about that today as he is sharing with them in the conclusion of his letter. But again, remember that he's writing from prison, but yet you can hear the joy through everything that he does. You know, sometimes for me and a lot of believers, it's hard sometimes to live in or live with the joy when we're going through persecution. The first thing we want to think is, what's wrong in my life? Or we see somebody else that's going through persecution and we say, you know, what did they do? And sometimes we understand that it's not what we've done, but that all of the difficulty that we go through is God working off the rough edges on us. God bringing us into a state of being able to live with joy, to live in his joy and in his peace. Sometimes we go through adversity, we go through conflict and difficulty where the world says there's no happiness and there's no joy, but we have joy because we know that it's in Christ. Sometimes it is an adversity or difficulty because of something we've done. We've gone against God's will, and God is using that situation to teach us. But sometimes it's of no doing of our own that God is just needing to polish us. And we're going to look at that also in just a moment. But as we're looking at this idea of living with joy, let me read to you from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. It says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You have also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Father God, tonight I pray, Lord, that your grace and your mercy, Lord, would be with us. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that as we open your word, that, Father, we remember the verse in your word, knowing that it's true, that says all scripture is inspired by you. All scripture is profitable. God, tonight, Lord, would you open our eyes and our heart to receive the truth from your word? Father, I pray that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, we've come to listen. Father, we tune in now. May you allow us to hear from you. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Tonight, as we look at this idea and understand that as I said, joy is something that's an inner joy. It's an inner satisfaction. It's an inner dealing that God does with. And understanding that Paul was writing to that church at Philippi, and he was telling them that joy is possible. And he was going to write in this conclusion about this joy. And what I want to do tonight is I want to share with you three ways that you can live with joy. The first way is have contentment in Christ. This is one that our world is big on being just the opposite of. It's all about the next big great thing. It's all about striving after the next thing, whether it comes to us working and wanting to grab a corporate ladder or us striving to buy more, have more, keep up with the Joneses, all these things we've heard. But you know, sometimes it's even more than that. Sometimes in our life, we're just not content with whatever state we find ourselves in. And if we're going to live with joy, I believe that he's telling us here that we have to have contentment with Christ. Now, let me say this. Contentment doesn't mean that you're oblivious to what's going on around you. There's things around us that we have to deal with. But contentment is an inner satisfaction. And I want to tell you right off the bat, the only way that you can have contentment and live with joy is in Christ. He's the only one that can do that. What does Paul tell us that this contentment is Christ? Guess what? It's learned. It's not something that just comes naturally. So if you don't have it, great. You're on the road. You can still get there. You're not missing something. He says that it's learned. Look there at verse 11. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. He has learned to be content. He's learned to be satisfied wherever he's at, whatever he's going through. Let me tell you what, Paul went through some stuff, amen. We can read in there about him being shipwrecked, about him being beaten, about him being stoned, about him being used by God, about him even now being in prison. Didn't always say that everything's a happy moment. We go through sad times. We go through trying times. But he said, I have learned, and he's learned by experience. He has learned to be satisfied. It is a gained knowledge. I find that interesting that he's learned by experience. We look at the Apostle Paul, and many of us will say, what a great man Apostle Paul was. Amen? Can we all agree on that? How God used the Apostle Paul in such a mighty way. We might even say, man, I would like to be half as much as what the Apostle Paul was. But as soon as we hit the first bump in the road, the first difficulty, what's the first thing we do? Hopefully. First thing we do is turn to God. But what do? God, get me out of this. God, help me. Instead of maybe, God, what are you trying to teach me? You see, I believe the Christians, especially in America, are so, not all of them, don't get me wrong when I say this, but so many are immature and weak Christians because we've never been through anything that causes us to experience who God is, who God's real provision in our life is. When you look at those overseas that go through persecution, they lose their family if they admit that they've accepted Christ. Those that are killed, thrown in jail, we don't know anything about that. But yet we see them on fire. We see the Apostle Paul, who he is, because he went through difficulty. And that caused him to experience God, stepping in, relying on God to step in and to help him. And he learned how to be content. He learned, guess what? That God will, as we're going to see, supply what all of you needs. God is always there. God is who he says he is. It's one thing to have head knowledge, book knowledge, but it's another thing to experience God and realize that everything's about him. You want to have joy in your life? Learn to have contentment in Christ, knowing that he's going to supply everything. This world, turn your TV on. I guarantee you, you're going to have in a 30-minute segment of a show on TV, you're going to have more what? Commercials than you are the show you're watching. Why is that? Buy me, buy me. It's about that. They want to instill not being content. You need something else. So you don't have contentment in your life if you're not in Christ. You don't have joy because you're always striving, I don't have enough. And then finally, for most people, if you think you've finally gotten there, give at the end of the month when the credit card bill comes in and see how much contentment and joy you have. Because we have been trained, so many people over the years, that buy it, pay for it later. Well, what does that do? That steals the joy because we don't have it. And now we've got to try to figure out how to pay it, and you didn't have it the first time. You're sure not going to have it the second time when everything else is coming. But we can have and live in joy when we have contentment, when we allow Christ to provide for us. He told them that it was learned. He also said there in verse 11, to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. It's in everything. When we allow Christ to be our sufficient grace in every matter of life, I think they say, what is it, that women don't compartmentalize quite as much as men do, but how often do we separate our spiritual life from our personal life, our church life from this? When we allow Christ to be sufficient for everything and not try to split things out, we get that joy. We can be content. But I love, he said there at verse 13, actually in verse 12, he talked about he learned a secret. And then in verse 13, he gives the answer to that secret. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Go right back up to 12. I don't have it on the screens there for you. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. He's learned a secret how in any situation he's in, whether he's fat and happy and got everything he needs, or he's missing a meal or two and he's becoming hungry, or he has all that he needs, or he doesn't have all of he needs. He said, I've learned the secret. And then he shares that secret there at verse 13. He says, I can do what? Say that. All things through him who strengthens me. Now I want to pause there just a minute. Boy, how is our world taking this out of context? God's not going to strengthen you for just any whimsy little thing you want to do. But Paul knows that being in love with Christ, being content with whatever Christ is going to give him, he has the joy from that, and he knows that whatever God wants him to do, there's the key, because he's a believer, whatever God wants him to do, if he's living in the will of God, he can do all things. Not some things, all things through Christ who strengthens him. What a secret. I can be content with God because whatever I need, he's going to provide for me. Whatever I need to do, he's going to give me the ability to do it. Not some things, but all things. So living with joy, first of all, you must have contentment in Christ. But he moves on beyond that because he's writing to this church. And next we see that you have partnership in Christ. You want to have joy in life. You want to live with joy. You need to have partnership in Christ. Guess what? It's not a Lone Ranger life. We cannot accomplish apart from Christ and apart from our fellow brothers and sisters what God has called us to do. This world wants you to be isolated. The first thing Satan wants you to do is be isolated. And then you say, I just can't do this. Well, no, there's some things we can't. It takes one another. And he writes to them and he encourages them and he's thanking them, but he's talking about God's providential hand at work. That providential hand means that God sees things and God answers things before. God is preparing this church at Philippi to take care of him. They're the ones that have supported him. They have partnered with him in the ministry. See, we're content in Christ when we can look to working and helping others, partnering with others to share the gospel. Look there at verse 15. And we begin reading. It says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. You see, the Philippian church partnered with Paul. If the Philippian church would not have partnered with Paul, if they would not have been obedient to what God had asked them, if they had not been content with the standards that they were, then that would have left Paul without what he needed. Now, God would, of course, stepped in and provide otherwise, but they would have missed out, and we're going to see that in a moment. But they partnered with him. He's saying when he first preached the gospel, it's all about the gospel in Christ. When I first preached the gospel and I left, he said, Macedonia, he said, you know good and well that you're the only ones that helped me. No one else partnered with him. And then he talks about being in Thessalonica. He was only there a short time, and they sent gifts to him more than once to help him on his partnering. You see, Paul's needs were met through God's provisions. It might have been the church sending it, but God provided for the church. The church was content where they were at. The people were content. You see, if we're not content with where what God is providing and knowing that he's going to provide, we're not going to want to let go into any of that. Oh, no, I might not be able to get my next meal. I might not be able, but they were content. They were able to be used. And you see, Paul not only had his needs met, but look at verse 18. It says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing. pleasing to God. God provided for his needs, and because he was content for God to do that, God also gave him what? He gave him an abundance. Because he was living in the joy of who it was. But you know, there is a flip to this. Not only is it that the Philippian church partnered with Paul, but Paul partnered with the Philippian church. He was excited for them. There was this partnership in Christ that brought joy to both of them. Look, you know, I mean, can you imagine where some might stand that Paul might have? You know, I'm thankful that you send me the gift. Come on, send me the gift. I need something. But the first thing that we see in here is Paul wasn't as concerned about them sending a gift as what was happening because they were sending the gift. Look at verse 17. He says, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for you the profit which increases to your account." Paul was concerned more for them than himself. He's like, you know, I'm not praising you so you'll send me more money. He wants them to understand that partnering with him and being content and receiving the joy comes from the idea that by them giving through their obedience, that God is going to bless them. He's going to increase to their account. What do we see? Look at verse 19. He says, and this is, how is God going to increase their account? 19 tells us, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." What is God going to supply them right there? What does it say? He's going to supply what? All, not some. See, that's the joy that we have when we partner. God's going to supply all of our needs. He's going to supply everything. It goes beyond what we're thinking right now. It goes beyond what we think when we first read that. He's going to supply everything they need physically. The money, the clothes, the food, everything they need. But there's more to everything than physical. He's going to supply all their spiritual needs too. He's going to step in and he's going to fill that joy. He's going to give them everything that they need to reach to what he needs to do. And I love that part of that verse, reason I left it up there. How is he going to do it? What does it say? According to what? His riches. Let me tell you what, he's got far more than you and I do. He has unlimited supply of riches and grace. And when we are obedient to him, when we are in that situation that we can be content in knowing that he's going to do that and that all good gifts come down from him, when we understand that we can partner together with others to advance the gospel that he's called us to do, and when we're obedient, he's going to open up his pocketbook, we could say, and out of his riches, he's going to supply everything, what? In the glory in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you what, that cross over there represents everything. The glory of Christ was paid for and poured out for us on that cross. If God never did another thing for us other than redeemed us and saved us, we've got all we need, the glory of Christ. What did he also mean out of this? Look, turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God supplies what we need. And when we're obedient to use our talents, our time that He supplies, when we use our gifts, when we use our money to partner with Him and to partner with others as He leads, He's going to supply everything. And He says right here, basically, that if we hold on to it, if we take that as our treasure and we just keep it, what happens? I mean, I remember a friend of mine who put everything they had into the stock market. And I remember around the time that 9/11 happened, this person came into work and you would have thought they had seen a ghost and then got ran over by an 18-wheeler. Everything she hoped for was in her retirement. And overnight, well over $100,000 just gone. See, where is our joy? I'm not saying we don't need to be concerned for these things. We do. I mean, it does take things to live, but are we relying on what we have, or are we relying on what He has? Can we take what we have and use for the benefit of His gospel and moving on? When we're content in Christ, we use our treasures to help others. Now let's turn back over to Philippians. I think you probably have a grace section there in your outline. And I want to show you through this section three people, we might say, or three groups, basically have word out there, who is blessed when someone gives. There's times in our life that God calls us to be good stewards of what He's given, and we give and we share in partnership. But when we really understand who gets affected, who gets blessed, I believe it changes things. So I want us to see here, first of all, the first one. Let's look at verse 17. It says, not that I ask the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. The first person who is blessed when they give is the giver. The giver is blessed. He says right here in that verse that he is concerned about what they will profit, what they will seek out of that. What is the profit that the receiver gives? Philippians 19, again, we looked at a while ago, tells us, and my God will supply all your needs to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So when you give, God is giving back. This is another verse they love to just totally take out of context. You know, throw it out there and tenfold to come back to you, that kind of stuff. If you're obedient to God and as the giver, you're giving of time, talents, money, treasures, whatever it may be, He's going to continue to give to you so that you can continue to use for Him. Because everything about it is His glory. Who is the second person that is blessed when someone gives? You can probably imagine. The one who receives. The receiver is blessed. It tells us at verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. You see, they gave, and because they gave, Paul had everything that he needed. And he even had more than he needed because he was a good, faithful, and steward of what it was. Can you imagine, or I'm going to give you just a moment to think of who the third is that might be blessed when someone gives? God. When we're obedient, God. Let's look again at the last part of verse 18. Talking about the offering that was sent, I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You want to live with joy? You have to be content in Christ. But not only that, you also have to have partnership in Christ. And then as he concludes this letter, you have to have glory in Christ. Because guess what? All of this has been about God. All of this has been what Christ is doing. He is thanking them. He is encouraging them for everything they've done. He's giving them praise, but all through here you see in God and for God. God's the one that's doing it, but he chooses amazingly to use us people, his creation. And you want to live with joy, it's all got to be for the glory in Christ. Paul concludes his letter with this praise to God. The glory to God. Look at verse 20. It says, "Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul is content in his knowledge that everything is from God. It's all from God. That's the reason that he can praise him. Knowing, because Paul knows. He knows full well because of what he's been through. He can't do it. And I'm here to tell you today, you can't do it. Without him, the glory has to be in him. Let's turn one more time. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus once again speaking, and he says, "I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." What's he talking about? Have you ever seen a branch that you go out and you break off of something and you set it to the side? Come back here tomorrow. Is it jumping all over the ground? Is it producing an apple or an orange or whatever it's designed? No. The branch can't do anything apart from the vine. So we must glory in Christ because guess what? He said that he's the vine and we're the branches. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you want. You're not the vine. You can't be. You never will be. He's the vine. And he says that we can't do it without him, that we have to partner with him, and he moves through us. We have to glory in Christ. And glory to God for lives saved. Look at 21, back in Philippians, verse 21. "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." He covers three different groups of people here that have been affected. He is covering three different groups of people who have been saved. And as he concludes, something that you might find interesting, and we don't always see it as much in our English translation, but when they would write letters, they would kind of begin the letter and they would kind of end the letter, very similar because it makes bookends. And he talked at the very beginning of this letter about all the saints. But here he's bringing it home. It's more personal. He says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus." Personal. Greet those who have become believers. He's writing back to those there. So you have the saint individuals. And then the brethren who are with me greet you, those that are there ministering to him, those that are working alongside of him even while he's in prison. They have been converted because of the gospel that he's sharing, because the church has been partnering with him. But then it moves to even greater there at verse 22. He says, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." You see, he's in a prison. And why the guards think that he's just chained up, he sees it that he's chained to them. And he's sharing with those guards the gospel. His life is being lived out before him. There are those in Caesar's household that would have never got to hear if he wasn't there. So he's glorying in Christ because the church has been content. They've been living in joy. They've partnered with him. The gospel is spreading to individual lives, to groups of people, and even within Caesar's household, the ruling authority, there are some that have been converted. Amen? It's all about God and what God is doing. And if we want to have that, if we want to live with joy, it's all about him. When we can get it off of all about me, when we can become content in whatever situation we are, not saying that we don't strive to better ourselves, but content knowing that God provides all, when we can get to the point of partnering with others for Christ, and when we can get to the point of giving all the glory, all of it, to him, then we are living with joy. I can look at it at what I've done in my life. I've accomplished some pretty darn good things, I think. You have too. But it's not about you. He's the one that's given you the ability to do it. When we're living in him, we can live with joy. And then he concludes verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Would you bow your heads? Father, tonight, Lord, I'm just thankful. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you've really been speaking to me through this. And Father, you've shown me areas in my life, Lord, that I need to become content in you, to rely on you. Father, it's not all about things. It's all about you. And then you will supply what I need. Father, it's about partnering with others, because Father, when we partner with you and we partner with others and they partner with us, Father, we can do so much more to advance your gospel. But Father, at the end of the day, it's all because of you. And Father, you deserve all the glory. And Father, when we can turn from us, Father, when I can turn from me, and I can just give it all to you and say thank you, then Father, I have joy. I live with your joy. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.